So we've been in this series called Navigating Our Lives Wisely. Wisely navigating our lives, I guess, if the English teachers in the bunch would correct me. We're looking at the book of Proverbs. We're looking at Solomon's wisdom for our lives. And today I want to start with a question. Has anybody here ever engaged in a job that you just didn't like? Anybody here? Researchers at the University of Aberdeen a few years back found that the single most important factor in life satisfaction, listen now, the single most important factor in life satisfaction and overall well-being is job satisfaction. How you feel about your work turned out to be a bigger predictor of life satisfaction than how you feel about your spouse, how you feel about your family members, how you feel about leisure time in your life, your health, your finances, or even your social life. What's more, there was a Gallup study a number of years back. It was given to 250,000 people in the U.S., they found out that 25% of employees are engaged and inspired in their work. Now, what that also means on the flip side is that 75% of us have mentally just checked out of our jobs. What's more is there has been a dramatic increase in stress-related illnesses for people who have fast-paced jobs with tight deadlines, which frankly are really the only kind of jobs left. People who are happy in their work tend to be happy in their lives. People who are miserable in their work tend to be miserable in their lives. One study cited by leadership guru John Maxwell found that outside of your genetics and your lifestyle choices, your job satisfaction is one of the highest predictors for how long you will live. Your work is incredibly important to your life, to your health, to your well-being. What's more, and Solomon will get into this in just a moment, what's more is that your work is incredibly important to God. I want to talk this morning about what God says about you and your work. But I want to start the conversation by sharing with you a concern of mine. Here's my concern. The concern is how few followers of Jesus Christ there are that genuinely love their work. Now, maybe it's just me, but the older I get in this job that I'm engaged in, it seems the more people I encounter each and every day who are seriously dissatisfied with their job. Are you finding the same experience? I believe that we believers should care very much about the job we do and how to do it. We're going to start this morning, not in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go all the way back to the story beginnings, Genesis chapter 2. It's very important in our discussion this morning because it is in the creation narrative that work is mentioned for the very first time. You'll notice it in verse 7, in which God had created the earth, everything in it, and he placed Adam and Eve right in the middle of this beautiful garden. And God formed man, the Bible says, and woman from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and man became a human being. Now, I want you to look at verse 8. It's on the screen if you need it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. Now let's look at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. No matter how you look at it, that's called what? A job. It's the very first time an occupation is mentioned in Scripture. The very first thing that God did with the very first man, the very first woman, was to give them a source of employment. He gave them a job. God created you and I to work. He built it into our DNA. And when the first woman and the first man, Adam and Eve, were created, God gave them a job to do right there in the Garden of Eden before sin had come into the world. He gave them a job to take care of the garden, to tend the garden. And many people today feel their work is a curse. You know how it is. I'm going to do my 30, 35, maybe 40 years. I'm going to grab my retirement, and then I'm really going to enjoy life. But here's what we find in the original blueprint in Genesis. We find that work is not a curse. It's not a result of sin. Work is actually a blessing. It is a gift given to us from God. According to the book of Origins, it was a blessing. It was a privilege that was given to the very first human beings. The sweat on the brow that we encounter after sin came in, after the curse came in, but it was not work. Work was one of the great blessings given by God to his children. It's so important to God that it was one of the first things that he gave Adam and Eve to do. So now that we've encountered that, we've seen the origins of work, let's go now to the book of Proverbs. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Let's see what this very wise man says about work. In our study this morning, we'll find that Solomon identifies two different kinds of workers as part of the beautiful wisdom that he offers to us. One of them is the wrong kind of worker. The other is the right kind of worker, a worker who reflects the very image of God. First, the worker who finds himself on the wrong kind of list is called the sluggard. Now, we don't use the word sluggard many times in our language anymore, so I'm going to call him a slacker. Are you familiar with that term, a slacker? It's a term that we used to use growing up. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I invite you to turn to the 24th chapter of Proverbs. It gives us a very colorful description of what I call a slacker, what Solomon calls a sluggard. Maybe as we read this morning, some of this might sound familiar to you, maybe even a picture of, you get a visual of someone. Verse 30, Solomon says, I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one who had no common sense. Verse 31. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. Verse 33. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty, verse 34, will pounce on you like a bandit, says Solomon. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. It's kind of a vivid description of the lazy person, what I like to call a slacker. One who lives by the motto, a little extra sleep, Solomon says, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. This is the lazy worker, It's an oxymoron, right, to say lazy worker. It's a lazy person who doesn't really know what real work is. Here are some of the phrases that the slacker might live by. What time is it? Is work done yet? I'm going to do just enough to get by today. I'm going to take the quickest and the easiest path to getting this done. Hard work is a drag. Or maybe today the term they might use is hard work. It's so lame. That's the description Solomon gives of the slacker, the sluggard, the lazy worker. So real quick, I want to give you just a few characteristics of what Solomon calls the sluggard. I call him the slacker. Let's walk through it real quickly. Number one. I don't know if I went too far there. Let me see if I can go back. There we go. Number one. The slacker has a difficult time getting started. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, if you'd like to turn there. He writes, "But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up?" Notice the two questions that he asks. How long and when? The slacker lives by the motto, let's just wait and do it tomorrow. Look at chapter 26, verse 14. Solomon says, as a door swings back and forth on its hinges, there's a nice visual for you, so the lazy person turns back and forth over in bed. That's the life of the slacker, says Solomon. He can't get out of bed. She's slow getting started. And as a result, nothing gets done. Number two, the slacker is often restless. This is Proverbs 13, verse 4. It's up on the screen if you need it. Lazy people want much, but get little. But those who work hard will prosper. We're going to look at this other group of people, those who work hard, in just a few moments. Lazy people, the slacker, they have work to do, but it never seems to get done. They have dreams, but they go unfulfilled. They have their punch lists each day, but they just never get completed. Oh, they have ideas, but those ideas lack the motivation to get going. They have creative thoughts, but they just can't put those thoughts into action. They just sit. They can't settle down. The slacker is, according to Solomon, restless. Number three, the slacker is costly to the business. This is Proverbs 18, verse 9. Solomon says, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. I think I may have gone too far. Yeah, maybe I didn't put that one in here. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. Proverbs 18:9. The one who is a slacker is described as being closely related to the person who is destructive. The only difference is the slacker doesn't usually destroy property. He just destroys things like attitudes. He destroys things like productivity. He destroys things like goals and objectives at work. The slacker is costly to the business. Number four, The slacker is extremely defensive because when faced with his shortcomings, he doesn't tend to listen. Proverbs 26:16. Lazy people consider themselves smarter than seven wise counselors. Suzanne, you talked about the counselor. And by the way, I feel your pain with the CHP officer. Lazy people consider themselves smarter than seven wise counselors. The slacker is always right. So don't you dare try to correct him, correct her. When confronted with problems in work, he's usually reactive or defensive. He cannot admit that he's wrong. He's always right, always got a reason for his poor performance. Number five, the slacker is a quitter. This is Proverbs 12:27. If you're a hunter or a fisherman, you'll enjoy or appreciate this passage. It says, lazy people don't even cook the game that they catch, but the diligent make use of everything that they find. The slacker likes to go out and hunt, but he doesn't like to get dirty. He doesn't like to clean up his game. He likes for someone else to prepare the meal and feed him. He likes to fish, but he doesn't like to scale the fish. Too messy. He's willing to start a job, but he just doesn't want to finish it. Slackers are known to have projects all over the house. Uh-oh, now you're getting a little close to home, Solomon. Number six, the slacker lives under self-delusional excuses. This is Proverbs 22, verse 13. The lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. What a silly, dumb excuse. It's stated for us so we can see how stupid the excuses of the slacker really are. You give him a difficult task, and he conjures up all kinds of reasons why he cannot get it done. It's always too much of something. The slacker lives under the self-delusional excuse. As a result, the work never gets done. Or if it does get done, it doesn't get done correctly. So what's Solomon's counsel for the slacker? It's interesting where Solomon turns for an illustration. This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Some of you may be familiar with this illustration. He takes an object lesson for nature. Take a lesson from the ants, Solomon says, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. What's the lesson that Solomon is trying to communicate here through the object lesson of the ant? First, ants need no boss to check up on them to make sure that the job is done properly. Secondly, they work really hard in spite of the challenges and the hardship that they may face. And third, they plan ahead for problems that might come up with. Now let's take a look at the other group of people. We've been looking at the slacker, the sluggard, as Solomon calls it. Now we're going to look at the other group of people, the good guys, the workers who are on the right side of the job, according to Solomon. He paints for us a picture of the diligent worker. Let's listen to Lady Wisdom as she speaks. This is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He introduces us to the diligent worker. He says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. This word diligent is used for work 6 times in the book of Proverbs. In each case, the Hebrew word that it's translated from is a verb that means to cut, to sharpen. It conveys the idea of someone who is focused, who is decisive, who is sharp and disciplined. It's someone who gets the job done. All of that is wrapped up in this word that we translate from the Hebrew into our English as diligent. What are the characteristics of the diligent worker? First, the diligent worker is a person of determination and discipline. If you are a diligent worker, you have trained yourself in a disciplined manner. You are disciplined with your time, which sometimes, for those of us who have managed our time wisely, we know that sometimes that means setting a healthy limit by saying no. You get the maximum output of your workday. The one thing that levels the playing field with workers is this. We all have the same amount of time in any given day. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. They all start out their day with the same amount of time as you. It is the undisciplined use of time that makes the slacker. It is the diligent and disciplined use of time that makes the worker that Solomon speaks of. Another characteristic of the diligent worker is that he is keen and aware and alert. If you have found a diligent worker, you have found a rare individual. Listen to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Isn't that beautiful? Diligence is a precious possession because it is rare. It is so hard to find. It is used over and over again in this manner in Proverbs. The idea is something that is priceless. It is this rare and costly jewel. One other characteristic of that diligent worker is a motivated worker. This is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Diligent work, writes Solomon, brings profit. But mere talk leads to poverty. Now, profit doesn't just mean money. One more text so I can show you a little bit more of this. This is Proverbs 21:5. He says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. But everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Isn't that great? It's the same word, profit and advantage. Diligent work, says Solomon, leads to an abundance. They are running over with ideas and energy and plans to get the work done and get it done right. So the question comes, are you a diligent type of person? Do you have a diligent lifestyle? Do you have diligence threaded throughout your life? It's clear from the book of Proverbs that God finds favor in that kind of life. Diligent people who are disciplined, who are determined, who are keen, who are aware and motivated have no trouble being successful in life. That's what Solomon says. He says, diligence is part of wisely navigating your life. He suggests that if you are a diligent worker, most employees will tell you, name your price. Look at Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. When you are a diligent worker, money will take care of itself. Promotion will take care of itself. Finally, there will be an inner satisfaction and an inner joy that will accompany diligent work. Look at Proverbs 13:4. There's this word again, sluggard. A sluggard's appetite, a slacker's appetite, he says, is never filled. But the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. When you are a diligent person, you do the job efficiently. You do the job effectively. There is this sweet satisfaction like nothing else. There's nothing like it. The slacker lives under the load of unfinished business. How desperately this world needs followers of Jesus Christ who do their daily labor with great discipline and determination and diligence. How incredible it would be if emerging from this faith community here at Woodside Church were men and women who saw their work as a true vocation, as a spiritual calling from God. No matter what your trade or profession might be, or even if some of you might fall under that so-called artificial term we call retirement, you know, a set term that society has given to you, that each one of us see ourselves as ordained by God, given a vocation in the truest sense of the word, and work each and every day with a diligence that brings honor to our Creator God. I'm going to close with one more wise saying. It really is a precious promise. I hope you enjoy it. In Proverbs 8:30, wisdom is seen as a person who wisely navigates their life. I wonder if you might begin to see your work that you do each day as wisdom sees her position with God. Then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. What a gift. At the end of a hard day, at the end of an exhausting week, to be able to look back on that week, on the last few days, and say, I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always.